The next item 16?
Item is item 16, fertilizer value of nitrogen in groundwater. So at the September meeting, as part of the discussion of schedule and listening sessions associated with 4.0, Ag Order 4.0, a number of topics came up that the board suggested would be useful in a workshop forum or an information item forum. This item is the first of those. This pertains to an often asked question of the bioavailability of nitrogen in ground that is in groundwater with respect to plant usage. Item 16 is an informational item regarding fertilizer value of nitrogen in groundwater and addresses a question of bioavailability. Dr. Michael Kahn of the University of California Cooperative Extension has conducted research to assess groundwater nitrogen bioavailability to crops and is here to present his findings. And our hope is that this will inform the board and provide understanding such that when the board needs to make some decisions in 2018 regarding 4.0, this is of assistance.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and board members, thank you for the invitation to come and address you today. And I hope, you know, you find this presentation informational. And I just want to assure that you understand what I'm presenting. So if you have questions as I'm presenting, you can interrupt me. I just want to make sure it's all very clear. Okay. My name is Michael Kahn. I'm an irrigation and water resources advisor for UC Cooperative Extension, and I'm located in Salinas and serve a lot of the Central Coast in irrigation water management issues pertaining to agriculture. Just want to acknowledge this work was done in collaboration with some of my associates, Laura Murphy, Richard Smith, and Tim Hartz, all with UC. And the funding for this work came from the CDFA Fertilizer Research and Education Program. So that program is funded by a mill tax on fertilizer. So essentially, you know, growers are paying in for this research, as well as the California Leafy Green Research Board. Again, growers are assessed and are paying for this research. And we also have a lot of in-kind contributions with growers that we work with in doing these trials. So the Monterey County vegetable growers and shippers participated a lot. And then the replicated trials that I'll describe were done at the USDA ARS Salinas Station. So it's a very collaborative project. If you want to, you know, learn more details about this research, it was published in California Agriculture, and a lot of the replicated trials I'll be talking about are discussed in this publication. So what I wanted to cover is really addressing, is nitrate in irrigation water bioavailable to crops? And I'll cover these replicated trials we conducted simulating water with different nitrate and ammonium concentrations. We conducted those trials at the USDA ARS station in Salinas in 2013 and 2015. And then subsequently, because those first trials were conducted in simulated conditions, we actually conducted commercial trials using just native groundwater that happened to be high in nitrate, and those were conducted in the last 2 years. And then I want to address some practical challenges in crediting and in water as fertilizer that growers would face. So this idea called Pump and Fertilize came about in this publication by Harder and Lund. It was a study looking at, you know, the cause of nitrate in groundwater in the Salinas Valley and the Tulare Basin. And the idea was proposed as a partial solution for remediating nitrate contamination of groundwater. And the idea is if growers took credit for the nitrate that was already in their well water, they could apply less fertilizer, right? And then reduce some of the nitrate loading back into the groundwater. And this is sort of a win-win for ag and the environment because growers could save some money in fertilizer and we can minimize nitrate loading to the groundwater. But the question is, how do you take credit for the nitrate in the water in terms of fertilizer units? And growers have a number of questions about this. You know, first, is that N, or that nitrate in your irrigation water, totally equivalent to fertilizer? If you think about a fertilizer application, they're done often with a tractor or through the drip system, and they're put in very specific places in the bed at high concentrations, versus nitrate that would be in your irrigation water is at much more dilute concentrations, and it's spread all over the soil. Often we have elevated nitrate concentrations in well water, but they're not that high. They're still just above drinking water standard. And so at these lower concentrations, the question is, would that provide fertilizer value to the crop? And then often growers are in a situation where they're using groundwater that's high in salts. So in this case, they have to apply extra water to leach out the salts. And so they're putting on more water than the crop would actually utilize for its evapotranspiration demand. And so the question is, would they take credit for that nitrate that they're putting on with that water, knowing that the crop's not really utilizing it? We also have situations where growers are using what we call recycled water. So it's not only maybe elevated in nitrate, but it's also elevated in ammonium or organic forms of nitrogen. So those forms could have value as a fertilizer too, but they're currently not accounted for in making fertilizer decisions. So we wanted to know, ammonium forms, or are they just as equivalent as nitrate in the water? So to address these questions, we conducted a series of replicated trials starting in 2013 at the USDA ARS station, where we simulated waters with varying concentrations of nitrogen. And this is just an example of the manifold we had to build. Those tanks contain different amounts of salts and concentrations of salts so we can inject into the water and recreate waters with different nitrogen concentrations. We also wanted to do this at the field station because in a lot of growers' fields, there's a lot of mineral nitrogen in the soil. And so you wouldn't get a response to the amount of nitrogen we're applying in the water if you already have high levels of nitrogen in the soil. So we wanted to make sure the soil was low in nitrogen so we could see a response to these water applications. We used different types of salts to recreate different nitrogen concentrations, combination of calcium nitrate and sodium nitrate and ammonium sulfate, but the idea was to recreate waters that were similar to what you would see in, from your wells, and we maintained a consistent calcium to sodium ratio, or we call it sodium absorption ratio, between 1.8 and 2.4. And for all these trials, we were putting the treatments on using drip irrigation. So this is the most ideal sort of irrigation situation. We didn't test this in, for example, sprinkler or furrow systems. And we established the crop with sprinklers, But then we switched over to drip, which is commonly done in lettuce and other vegetable commodities. But during that sprinkler phase, we weren't using any high nitrate water. So it was just done what we would call post-thinning or post-establishment of the crop. So in the 2013-2014 replicated trials, really objective was just to answer this question. Does the crop take up that nitrate that's in the irrigation water? So we had water treatments that had varying levels of nitrogen. So we had, of course, a treatment that had no fertilizer, and it was just the background level of nitrate in the water, which was 2 parts per million in this well of nitrate N. And then we had treatments where it was 12, 22, and 42 parts per million. So we're just increasing it by increments by doing this injection system. And one treatment to simulate recycled water, which is a majority of the nitrogen, it has ammonium in it. So it has some nitrate, but it also has ammonium forms of nitrogen. And then, just as a reference, we put in a standard fertilizer application.
Meaning there was no nitrogen in the water, but it was just applied to the soil.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So, and that fertilizer went on as fertigations through the drip system. So it's sort of a standard practice that a grower would do. Where the water ones, no fertilizer went on, just what came in with the water.
And the standard, so the standard fertilization one, you use the same 2 parts per million water you used in the first one with no fertilization?
Right. Okay. That's correct. Now, to sort of answer this question about applying an extra leaching fraction, we had two water rates. So we had those treatments at we call a standard water rate, and we base that off of crop ET, 110% of crop ET, and a higher water rate, which would simulate adding extra water to leach out the salts. Okay? And so this is one of the first trials here. Oops, I turned it off. there we go. That must not be the laser. This is the laser? Okay. There's the laser. Okay, so here is the amount of water we applied for both of these rates for the establishment, the sprinkler phase. And then when we go to the drip phase for the standard water rate, we did 7 inches and then about 3 more inches where we went to the high water rate for leaching. Okay, so these were reasonable amounts of water you would apply for leaching out salts. There's nothing excessive there. And we based our crop ET on the weather station we have at the Spence Farm. It's a Simmons station. Now to calculate how much nitrogen we're applying with these water treatments, we use this simple equation, which is the applied water in inches, units of inches, times the nitrate N concentration in parts per million, times this factor of 0.23. So that gives you pounds of nitrogen per acre that you're applying through the water. So going back to our going back to the water applications we have, I'm going to use this pointer here. If we're applying with our standard water rate, we have 12 parts per million nitrate N in the water. In total, we'll apply about 20 pounds of nitrogen in that treatment. 22 parts per million nitrate in the water, doing 35 pounds of N per acre. And then when you get up to 42 parts per million, about 70 pounds. And then if we put more water on, of course, then we're putting more nitrogen on. So you see correspondingly 28 pounds, 51, almost 100 pounds with this higher rate and the higher end concentration.
What would be a normal uptake of with lettuce? I realize that's a range and it can depend.
Right. So a lettuce crop like Iceberg would be somewhere around 120 all the way up to 150 pounds of N, depending on the population out in the field and, you know, what yields you get.
Okay, so even at the high water rate and the high concentration, you're applying...
I'm sorry, thank you, Tammy. Even at the high water rate and the high concentration, you're applying less than the uptake.
That's correct, yeah. So, I mean, the idea is a grower would still need fertilizer, but they would subtract off for what's going on in the water. So to give you a view of what we were seeing as we got close to harvest, here's Iceberg lettuce growing with a high nitrate water. No fertilizer, just with the water. Looks pretty good. And then no fertilizer, not much nitrate in the water, yellower, smaller heads. And this came out in our, you know, measurements, you know, both the plant size, yield, the end content of the tissue was affected by the nitrogen concentration of the water. Now, I just want to take you through our results, you know, step by step here. So on this axis, this is the biomass yield of the lettuce in times 1,000. So you get, this is 80,000 pounds per acre of lettuce here. Versus the total N applied in the treatments. And I'll just show you this one here is 20 pounds applied, even though this is our low water treatment. So it was 2 parts per million. And that's because we did put an anti-crustin on because this soil crusts and that has some nitrogen in it. So I give you the total N. But these are our water treatments here. So you see just that anti-crustin and the water, which was 2 parts per million, and here's what our yield is. Now we go to 12 parts per million in the water. Our biomass yield goes up, 22, it goes up, 42, it goes up. So this is our standard water rate. So we can see even 12 parts per million, crop obviously is taking some of that up because you have higher biomass yield.
And what would be the average biomass yield in the industry for lettuce?
Well,
or the range?
Yeah, so this is biomass yield, not trimmed lettuce, okay? So we cut the complete plant because we wanted to calculate an uptake. Mm-hmm. And it's going to depend very much on, you know, what type of product they're trying to sell. So it could be cartons, it could be chopped lettuce. And so you'll see something like more like 30,000 to 40,000 pounds per acre, you know, of marketable product because about 30% of this would be trimmed off, right?
And that's typically trimmed in the field and plowed in.
Right.
So it becomes resident.
Yeah, it would become residue, and it would subsequently mineralize nitrogen back into the soil. Okay, so we can add on the high water rate here, so you can see that, how that overlays. And now this was quite interesting. So the only difference here is the amount of water. So you have a higher water rate, same concentration, and you can see we put more water on, but we got more biomass, you know, with the same concentration. So the crop was efficient at utilizing that extra water, even though, you know, you'd expect some of it to leach down. Now, I should point out when we're putting this water on, is you know, after thinning, the crop's root system's already established. We are using drip irrigation, so the water applications mimic the crop water demands. So we're doing this in the most efficient way possible.
And I'm curious now about something we hear from the ag community that, you know, across many different farms, you have different soil types. pH might be different. Porosity might be different. How do you standardize your testing parameters across the board? I mean, are these results good irregardless of pH or soil type?
That's a good question, and we did subsequent trials at different locations, right? So to help answer that, okay. Because despite, you know, showing these replicated trials, growers still had that same question, okay? But also, we're basing our water applications on crop ET. So now, not every grower follows crop ET, but they have a sense that if they're in the south part of the Salinas Valley, they're going to need more water than up in the northern area. And subsequently, ET is higher, too, down in the south. So that's one way, you know, you can think about it. In terms of soil type, you know, really ET drives the water use of the crop. Soil type is going to really determine your irrigation frequency, how frequently you need to irrigate.
So looking at the difference between the standard water rate and the high water rate with the 42 parts per million, do you have a sense as to whether that increase in biomass with the high water rate was due to more water available to the plant, more total volume of nitrogen available to the plant, or of the salts having been leached?
That's a good question. I'm going to show you the answer there. So I just want to point out, here's for the 22, same effect. You know, we put more water, same concentration, get higher biomass. And, you know, here's the fertilizer treatments in comparison. So here's the relationship here, you know, with biomass and then the fertilizer treatments. And, you know, there is a slight yield increase, you know, with the higher water treatment, even with the fertilizer treatments. But certainly this change is probably mostly due to the crop capturing more nitrogen. Okay. Now let's look at the nitrogen uptake for those same treatments.
If I can go back to that, there is also within the plant, there is a sort of a maximum water intake, you know, where, I mean, to take an extreme, you could grow lettuce on a hydroponic pond, but there's only so much water that the plant, you know, the lettuce is going to take. So, you know, to your point, it's not the water, it's the fertilizer in the water that increases the yield. Not because of not the beneficial effect of further deep hydration of the root zone.
Yeah, you would expect that our 110% ET treatment was giving the crop adequate water. That was the idea. If we were under irrigating, then you might get a boost from the extra water. So those same biomass samples, then we took tissue samples, dried it out, and got the percent N. And so we could calculate the N uptake of each of these treatments, too. And so here now is crop N uptake in pounds of N per acre versus the total applied nitrogen. And so here's our different water treatments with their standard water rate, just like before. And you can see if we put if we have higher nitrate in that water, we get more N uptake in the plant. And this was also seen in the tissue N concentration. It was higher.
So I'm confused by this.
Okay.
I don't understand how you could have more uptake of nitrogen than you apply.
How do you get more uptake?
Yeah, so the y-axis,
right,
you're
right.
Showing, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to understand we don't do this in a laboratory, we're in a field, and there's nitrogen in the soil the plant can utilize. So even though we try to start with very low N levels in the soil, there is some nitrogen in the soil. We also, you know, although we do show we have some, or we account for the nitrate or the nitrogen that goes on with the surfactant, we get this extra boost from mineral N that's already there in the soil. So we're not accounting for that in this graph. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and is that what you would call residual N?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So then we add the high water N treatments, or high water rate treatments. And again, if we put on more water, we get more N uptake. Same with, you can see here, same nitrate concentration in the water, but the crop's taking up more of it because we're putting more water on. And if we do a little regression, the slope is equal to the N uptake efficiency. And so you can see we're at the steep part of the response curve for nitrogen response to fertilizer or crop N uptake. And so for every unit we put on, the crop's taking up roughly, you know, 0.85 or 85% efficiency. 85% efficiency. However, we're on the steep part of the curve here, you know, and correspondingly we're up here on the plateau. Growers don't farm here because they're not going to be able to stay in business, not getting their maximum yield. They're over in this region here. And so this is more like a 55% end use efficiency. Okay. But if you think about a nitrogen response curve, all this data falls on the same curve there. And so this is the region, you know, growers have to farm to be economically viable, right? They can't farm down here and have less yield. Is that clear?
Yeah. Can you go back?
Yes.
So I may be missing the most obvious point I might be missing, but why is it that as you apply more nitrogen, you get a more one-to-one ratio of uptake versus application?
As we apply more nitrogen?
Yeah, as the x-axis goes higher,
right?
It more closely matches the y-axis values.
Well, this is pretty constant in this region, right? It's about 80.85. So for every unit we put on, you get 0.85 being taken up.
Right.
And so we're applying more here. So you get more uptake.
Yeah, so you apply 120 pounds, it uptakes about 120 pounds. But when you're down to applying 20 pounds, it's uptaking 40 pounds. So my question is, why does the uptake more equal the application as you increase your application?
Yeah, I think what you're pointing out is at first it's like more, you know, you're taking more N up than you're putting on, and then you're getting closer and closer to what the crop is taking up. And what we have is what we call the law of diminishing returns here. So it's getting less and less efficient.
So I'm kind of ignorant here. Why is that so that it has that trend?
That's a biological limitation of all crops, really, is that to get to sort of a maximum uptake, you're putting more and more nitrogen on, right, to get that last benefit, and so the crop is less efficient at taking it up. And so the challenge for growers is you know, if they're here on the curve, they're pretty efficient. But if they're down over here, that's the problem. Okay? And
wouldn't it also be when you're at the bottom of the curve, what Mr. Delgado's asking about, where you're, it seems backwards, where you're applying 20 pounds per acre and uptaking 40, that you're uptaking some nitrogen that was already in the soil?
That's correct.
And that's a fixed amount. So as you get further up, you may be applying more and uptaking what you're applying, but there's only so much to start with that was in the soil, and so as you're applying more, you're not, that amount isn't increasing. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
That's the answer that I wasn't getting, that I wasn't understanding. Thank you.
So we also did these trials in other commodities, and we wanted to work with broccoli because now this is a deeper rooted crop. It's also in the ground a bit longer than lettuce. So we're going to be applying more water. It has a higher end demand than lettuce. Often where lettuce is maybe 120, 150 pounds of N per acre, this crop can take up well over 250 pounds of N per acre, and we've measured it up to 300, 330 pounds of N per acre. So it is a high end demand crop. It's very good at scavenging nitrogen because the roots get quite deep because it's in the ground a longer period of time. So you can see the extensive root system of broccoli. So I'm not going to go through all those graphs again. I'll get to the main point here. Here's crop end uptake, right? And then here's what's applied with our different treatments. So here's our water treatments here, and then the corresponding fertilizer treatment. And then if we fit a curve, the N uptake efficiency is about 80% here. Okay, so similar type of results as what we got with the lettuce, where also if we applied more water, we got more uptake of N. Now, you could justify fitting actually two different curves here, because you can see for each of these, they're slightly less efficient. The crop is slightly less efficient of taking up N when we had higher water applications compared to when we had our standard water rate. Now the crop's there a longer time. Broccoli has this higher end demand, and so the difference between our standard water rate and our high water rate was greater than with lettuce, where lettuce was, say, 3 inches. Now we're talking about a 5-6 inch difference in applied water. And at that point, we're starting to lose some of the efficiency of uptake of N from that water. By having this leaching fraction. And you can see that effect here in the fertilizer. There's some decrease in uptake with our higher water rate.
So is it more efficient than in the soils, taking it out of the soils? I mean, is broccoli more efficient than finding it in the soil?
Is broccoli more efficient taking nitrogen in the soil? Generally, it is because it has a deeper root system. I was just pointing out that with the higher water rate, it wasn't quite as efficient.
No,
yeah. Okay. All right. Now, this question about ammonium sources of N in water. If you look at the CSIP project, at the water quality there, there is a good portion of that nitrogen that's in this ammonium form. And so we had a treatment, you know, that was dominated by ammonium, and here you see crop N uptake for the standard water treatment and the high water treatment, and we had no statistical differences. And what we would expect is ammonium quickly transforms to nitrate once it goes on into the soil. through the nitrification process. Now, those first set of trials, we're really looking at, okay, does this nitrate in the water have fertilizer value? Does the crop take it up? But we wanted to have a set of trials that also did direct comparisons between fertilizer sources and water sources at similar rates. So we went back to our manifold and it got even more complicated because we had to have more treatments. And now we had four treatments that were where the main source is just from fertilizer, these fertigation applications with the drip system. And for lettuce, we had a untreated control, just 0, 20, 60, and 150 pounds of N per acre applied by fertigation. And then we also had treatments with no fertilizer, but we had 14, 25, and 45 parts per million nitrate N in the water. Okay. And again, we did the two different irrigation rates to simulate if you were having a leaching fraction. And so we had a standard rate, and this is for the lettuce crop, 110% of ET. We had a higher water rate, went up to 180% of ET, but that only corresponded, you know, to about a 2.5-inch difference in that drip phase of the crop. So not a lot of difference in the leaching fraction in terms of the amount of water applied in lettuce. So this is just showing you the results for the fertilizer treatments. So you have your standard water rate and your high water rate. Now in this year, there was a lot of residual nitrogen in the soil. So that's why even at the, you know, there's no nitrogen being applied here in terms of the fertilizer, but you get quite a bit of biomass, and the crop's utilizing what's in there in the soil. But we still get a response here. And so you see 20 pounds acres boosts up the yield a little, 60 boosts it more, and 150 maximizes the yield. So
And the high water rate has lower yield at the left side of the graph because it's leaching out some nitrogen from the soil, we think?
Possible. I don't know if you would say those are statistically different, but I just put it there to illustrate the different water rates.
And how did you take into account natural rainfall, if there was any, occurring during your testing?
If we had natural rainfall, but I don't recall having that in the middle of these trials, we started them in May, then for the irrigation, we subtract that off in terms of the amount of water we apply. Now, here I'm superimposing here with the fertilizer response, that's the line there, the treatments with N in the water. So here's the fertilizer response curves, and then here's the 45 parts per million, a 25, 14. And the main point here is they're all falling on the response curve that you would get with fertilizer, which is how we prove, you know, it's equivalent to using fertilizer in terms of value. If we look at N uptake, it's the same thing here. Here's the response curve for fertilizer. And here's 45 parts per million, 25, 14. These are the high water rates. If anything, it's actually a little more efficient of taking up the N than the fertilizer. And we did the same for broccoli. So here's the fertilizer response curve. So here's the values here, and here's the biomass yield. And then overlaying this, these are the treatments with the nitrate in the water. So, you know, the 14, the 25, and the 45 parts per million. And again, there is some decrease in N uptake efficiency and biomass yield, when we have that higher water rate in the broccoli. But we don't necessarily see that with our water treatments there.
Are those differences statistical significant?
Those are, so here's the 14, 25, and the 45 parts per million. So with a just standard water rate, they fall right on the curve. And in the higher water rate, they're a little bit higher. And here's the broccoli N uptake, and that's even more pronounced. So here's the fertilizer response curve, and here's our water treatments for the high water rate.
So you mentioned in the first of the three response curve comparisons that even though there was some slight difference, there was no statistical significance to that.
Yeah.
How about in the latter two?
In the latter two, I believe these would be statistically higher. What we safely can say is the N uptake efficiency from the water is at least as good as fertilizer, if not maybe a little better. And when you think about it, what we're doing is with every irrigation, we are putting just the amount of nitrogen on and water that the crop would need versus a fertilizer application, which might be a little bit more than the crop needs. And then you have subsequent irrigations that could leach a little bit out of the soil below the root system. So, you know, certainly this is a very efficient way, you know, to fertilize. And in fact, in greenhouses, this is what they do, is they keep very high nitrate concentration in hydroponic systems. And with every irrigation, the plant's getting a little nitrogen. So here again, fertilizer, and here's our water treatments. So through these replicated trials, you know, we did come to some conclusions. You know, N in irrigation water really does have the same nutrient value for lettuce and broccoli as fertilizer sources of N. Low concentrations of nitrate in irrigation water, you know, around 12 parts per million, are taken up by lettuce and broccoli. Ammonium and nitrate sources are essentially equivalent as in terms of value. The volume of water applied to the crop can affect recovery rate of N from the irrigation water, but the recovery rate, you know, appears to be equivalent or slightly better than from fertilizer. And I just wanted to point out again that we did not test if high nitrate or high N water applied before thinning has fertilizer value for a vegetable crop. We did all this after thinning, after the crop was established. So that brings us to the question, you know, should growers credit N in water applied during pre-irrigation and germination? From an agronomic perspective, we don't recommend they take credit for that. And the reason is that crop evapotranspiration in this period is very minimal. So the crop's taking up very little water. And the other factor is that crop N uptake is also very minimal, right? You're just germinating up the crop. It's not really taking up N. So it doesn't make sense to take a lot of credit for the water you're applying in that period. The way we talk to growers about how to think about crediting nitrate in their irrigation water, you saw the effect of residual N in the soil. So when they get to that point of the first fertilization, you know, after establishing the crop, we suggest, you know, looking at your soil nitrate level, because that will tell you your current N status, right? N in the water is something to think about for what the crop's going to be taking up in the future. So you calculate that in once you make your fertilizer decision, looking at what you have in your soil. And so the combination of this is really what growers would have to do to make those adjustments as they go through the season with their fertilizer applications to make the best use of residual N in the soil and to make use of the N in the water. Okay. I want to address, you know, some of the practical challenges, you know, for growers to credit for N in their irrigation water. The reality is a lot of ranches in the Salinas Valley have multiple wells, and they might use these wells in combination for one crop. And one well might be high in nitrate and another is not. So that's one challenge. As we worked with growers these last few years, they would tell us, oh, I have a high nitrate well. We'd go out there, take a water sample and find out it's not very high. And we couldn't use it for our trials. And so it is a challenge to know what your nitrate concentration is in your well throughout the season. If you just have one value, you know, at the beginning of the season, it may be different as you get to mid-season.
Could I jump in here and ask a question? Is there a pattern to the seasonal variability?
I haven't done a study like that. It's just, this is information that's sort of anecdotal, talking to growers, and from my own experience and trying to do these trials, that we do see it. It could be where the well's located in relationship to the Salinas River. So if it could be due to the rain events that happen, you know, during the previous winter. But things change out there, and that would need to be accounted for. Also, challenge is you need to estimate how much water will be applied, you know, when you're fertilizing. So that's a little bit different because you may have the person making the fertilizer decision is different than the irrigator foreman or irrigation foreman. So now you need some better communication in an operation to know, okay, if we're going to fertilize, well, how much water are we going to be applying until the next time we fertilize? And be able to communicate and get those records, that becomes logistically challenging.
Well, is the amount of water that's going to be used with any particular fertigation effort going to change depending on how much nitrogen is in that, going to be put in that water? In other words, the driver behind how much water to use,
right,
isn't that only dependent upon the moisture content of the soil and not dependent upon the level of nitrogen that's going to be put into the water?
I think that's right, yeah. But my point is you're making the fertilizer decision. You're going to subtract off for nitrate in your irrigation water. You need to know how much water your irrigator is going to be putting on in the next 2 weeks, right? We don't always know. Is it going to be 2 inches, 4 inches? That becomes a logistical challenge. We talked about nitrate in the soil that can contribute significantly to the N uptake of the crop. You have situations, you know, coming out of this last winter, there's hardly any N in the soil because it was leached out during the winter. And so you can't just say, well, I'm going to put, crop uptake is minus the nitrate in the water, because you need to get your soil up to a reasonable level of nitrogen to start with when you start that crop. So if you were saying, oh, you know, crop takes up 120, I'm going to put 30 on, I'm going to do 90 this last spring, you would have had some yield loss. So you really have to monitor the soil, and when you're thinking about how much to subtract off for the nitrate in the irrigation water. Also, I didn't put this up here, but we did all these studies with drip irrigation. But there are a lot of crops we're using sprinkler, and the fertilizer goes on with a tractor application, or it goes over, we call it a top dress. If you think of some of these high density leafy greens, there's not a lot of flexibility in the fertilization scheme to make adjustments. Tractor applications, you can't just subtract off 2 or 3 pounds of N. It has to be large increments. And you only get onto the field maybe twice with some of these very short crops. So for some commodities, it's just not going to be very practical to make these adjustments for and in the water. And also, you know, growers have a lot of plantings that they're managing simultaneously in these large to mid-size farming operations. And so if you're managing 150 to 200 different plantings simultaneously, you're talking about a lot of decisions that have to be made and then communicated to your staff out there in the field. So that is, again, a logistical challenge to do. So nevertheless, we wanted to go ahead and see if we could make this successful in some of these commercial fields. And I'll just mention, you know, growers are very interested in this idea of using the nitrate in their irrigation water. We had no trouble finding cooperators. They would come to us and say, hey, I have a high nitrate well. Can we do something with this and try to reduce our nitrogen use? So in 2016, 2017, we being Richard Smith and myself, who's Richard's a farm advisor in my office, conducted a number of, on-site or commercial trials where the wells are high in nitrate, varying levels of nitrate in the irrigation water. And there's varying levels of salinity in the water. And some of these sites had very high residual N in the soil and some very low. But this was an opportunity to really see if this works in a field setting. And so we would set up these manifolds where we could split up the water into different treatments out there in the field. And that meant, you know, we had to be out there for every irrigation and make sure it went on right and do the fertigations ourselves and not goof up the crop, right? The grower didn't want to have any yield loss. At one point, we had one trial in late September when lettuce prices were about $47 a box, and we didn't want to cause a yield loss. So in each of these trials, we had the grower standard treatment, and then we had what we called the best management practice, and that's where we're taking into account the nitrate in the water, but also the mineral nitrogen in the soil. And then we had an intermediate treatment. We found that as we worked with some of these growers, they sort of looked at what we were doing, and they lowered what I would call the standard rate that they normally applied because they wanted to see if they could go lower. So with our intermediate treatment, we could raise the rate to have something to compare with. So we ran five trials, two in 2016, and three in 2017, and this gives you an idea of sort of the status of the soil N. So 8 parts per million nitrate N is a pretty low number. This is at thinning in the top foot depth. 30 is a very high, it's lots of nitrogen in the soil, in the top foot there. Some of the wells were sort of moderately high like this, and some were very high, 84 parts per million nitrate N in this well. And if you look at how much nitrogen was applied through the water in the water applied after thinning, 5 inches, 5.3, that corresponds to 36 pounds, 100 pounds here. Trial three here, also very low levels of soil N. Moderate levels of N in the water, but trial four, again, very high levels of residual N in that soil, very high levels of nitrate. And so here, correspondingly, 26 pounds applied through the water, about 90 with trial four. And we had varying levels of salinity in the water. So getting up to 1.8 is a pretty high salinity level for lettuce. But here also 1.4 is a pretty high salinity level. Now, how we dealt with multiple wells being used, was we had an emitter that came out of the drip tape and went in a bucket. And after every irrigation, we put our nitrate quick test paper in there, and we could judge what that nitrate level was in the water for the blended water. So that was just a very simple way that we could do this and know what was really applied. We also had flow meters out there, so we assessed how many inches of water were applied in the field. This is not a normal practice that growers would be doing, but we did this for our trials. So these were unreplicated large plot trials, and they were large plots so we could have commercial harvests of these areas, and that's what the growers wanted to see. So in trial one, this is where we had low N in the soil, moderate levels of nitrate in the water. The standard rate the grower put on was 154 pounds of N per acre. We could lower it a little, but not that much. We didn't feel comfortable lowering it more than 14 pounds. This was a trial where we had very high soil N levels, very high nitrate in the water. We went down to 32 pounds, and then we had an intermediate rate of zero, even, you know, no fertilization. And the grower, to our surprise, lowered his rate too. So his standard rate was not normally 62 pounds. He said it was around 150, but in this trial, he dropped it down. Again, trial three is one of these examples, moderate levels of nitrogen in the soil and moderate levels of nitrate in the water. We could not lower it anything. In fact, we were a little higher than the grower's treatment. But we did put an intermediate one of 160. So this is about as low as we felt we could go. This was another example of very high nitrate in the water and in the soil, and we went down to 7 pounds for the whole season. And then again, this was sort of an intermediate one, and it was the high salinity site. So the grower standard was 155 pounds. We were able to go to 118. It had, you know, pretty good levels of nitrate in the soil to start, and the water was moderately high in nitrogen. So on average, we applied 85 pounds of N, so less than, you know, normally what a iceberg lettuce or romaine lettuce crop would take up. Yeah, you had a question?
Yeah, with so much variation, I'm just wondering why you would note the average. What value does that have to understanding these differences and comparisons?
Well, you think about what the average amount of N, you know, you guys have, the board has collected the N applied by growers in lettuce. I think it's much higher on average than 85 pounds of N. So I wanted you to see that using this approach, we have applied on average less N than the crop is taking up.
Okay. I'm trying to understand why the intermediate is in some cases lower and in some cases higher than the BMP.
Right. The intermediate was created there to give us something different than the grower standard. Sometimes we went higher, sometimes we went lower. It was just to be a comparison. Okay. And the standard, you know, average was 111, and that's just, I wanted to point out that, yes, the grower's standard was dropped in the course of doing these trials. We know many growers are up there at around 150 pounds of N. So these are the two trials where the nitrate in the soil and the water was pretty minimal. These were the ones where it was very high. So we conducted commercial yield evaluations with grower equipment. And the way I express this, here's the yield through the standard practice of the growers, and then as a percentage, you know, if our yield was greater or less. And so only in this one we had 1% less than the grower standard, but it, in all cases, you know, it was sort of equal or higher. And you may ask, why did we get higher yields? Because sometimes we're using less fertilizer. Well, we're also managing the water, right, in a different way, because we want to minimize nitrate leaching. And our practice was to use less water up front, and then as the crop water demand increased, as the canopy size increased, we used more water. And there's also sort of a belief by many irrigators that you need to cut back on water later in the season for head lettuce to help form the heads. So in some cases, I would say they stress the crop a little, and that's why we saw, you know, maybe a little boost in yield in our treatment. But the main point is, you know, cutting back to very low yields, very low nitrogen rates do not impact the yield. Here, remember, this is 7 pounds of N per acre. This corresponded in terms of boxes per acre or cartons per acre, about 1,100 cartons per acre, which is a very good yield. Here we went through the heat period in early September, so it was a little lower yield. However, that's when the cartons were worth about $47 each. So the grower made plenty of money in that period. So, you know, this approach seemed to work, and we demonstrated it worked in a commercial setting. We had no yield losses, accounting for that nitrate in the water and accounting for the soil N.
So if I'm a grower and I'm trying to ask, I mean, clearly growers like higher yields, but if I'm trying to figure out if that higher yield is a result of this regime of nitrogen application or of a different irrigation technique, then my question would be, if I had used this different irrigation technique and more nitrogen, would I have gotten a better yield?
You're saying that maybe we confounded things, you know, by using the water a little differently. That's always a problem when you try to do these commercial trials. That's why we do replicated trials. And in many cases, we didn't use more water. We just used the water at a different timing, if that makes sense. So the total amount of water is about the same. So just to summarize, you know, through all these trials, I think we as researchers are convinced, you know, the nitrate in irrigation water is bioavailable to vegetables, even at low concentrations. Crops will be most efficient utilizing N in the water if the irrigation amounts really follow the evapotranspiration demand of the crop. So applying a lot of water up front, you're not going to get the benefit of that nitrate in that water. You've got to put it on at the rate the crop needs it. Factoring in irrigation water into fertilizer decisions is going to be challenging for commercial vegetable operations. It seemed to us the simplest approach is really to start accounting for that nitrogen in the irrigation water after the crop is established, once you get to that first side dress or fertigation application, and not worry about the germination water.
So how many days does it take on average to get romaine lettuce to market? How many days?
It's going to be 60 to 65 days, okay, in the summer.
So after how many days do you consider the crop to be established?
Well, it's probably after the first 2 weeks would be established, but then they're not going to fertilize at that point. It's probably going to be about 30 days into the crop. So it's the last 30 days. But that's when 85 to 90% of the N uptake is going to be occurring too. So you try to delay, you know, your fertilizer application to the point where the crop really needs that nitrogen. Putting fertilizer on early, it just makes it more likely to be lost through your leaching, through the irrigation. So that's why most growers put most of their nitrogen on after thinning. So I know you've asked a lot of questions, but if you have more questions.
And what I'd like to do is to take a pause.
Yes.
A 15-minute break. Then we can, you know, bring additional questions. And then also I do have three speaker cards for this topic. And as a reminder, since we have started this item, you know, no additional speaker cards will be allowed. So we take a 15-minute break, and then we reconvene.
Okay.
Thank you very much.